Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This Dr. J, your host for the John Abercrombie Hour. And tonight, I just want to reflect a little on Trump's comments on black voters. I am African American, and I am insulted by his comment, and I want to put it on record as such. I read an article as to what he had said regarding people of color, and how we are, well, let me just read one of them. Then we can get into a discussion. I had one person that called in. They dropped. I guess the topic was a little too much for them to handle. A little too much. This comes from the reader. It said, Donald Trump's comments asserting that black voters were more drawn to him after his multi-indictment on criminal charges. You sharp rebuke over the weekend from his Republican challenger for the presidential nomination, civil rights activists, and others. And, it goes on, says Trump on Friday, like his 91 criminal charges and four separate criminal cases to discrimination faced by black Americans, and said that they had come to embrace his mugshot. He was speaking to a black conservative group in South Carolina before the state party primary election. And that should have been an insult. At least it was an insult to me. It should have been an insult to those individuals that was there listening in his presence. I have conservative views, and I think I still do for the most part. But I ask the question, what would Jesus do? Before I make any conservative decision, now let's take example. Say Jesus was conservative, and Jesus practiced conservatism. What do you think we would be doing today? Will we be talking about Christianity? I want you to think about that for a moment. Just sit back and think about it. And what do you think Jesus would say? I just opened the mic of that listener, and the question, I'm going to repeat it. After I read the comment that Donald J. Trump made, a black conservative foundation in South Carolina, he said, I'm just reading. This is public record. It says, Friday, Trump on Friday lacked his 71 criminal charges and 4 separate criminal cases, asserting that black voters were more drawn to him after his multi-indictment on criminal charges. Now, I want you to think about this. If you stop there, what is he saying about you, the black voters? What was he saying about those so-called black conservatives that were sitting in there? And he goes on. Multiple indictment on criminal charges drew sharp rebuke over the weekend. This is from his Republican challengers and from civil rights groups, activists, and others. Now, if you would have heard that, just say you were sitting there. You were sitting there in that audience. And that man who has told thousands of lies, multi-thousands of lies, stood up there and said that about you, your people, your community, your children, your grandchildren, your ancestors. And he just wasn't saying that about one person. He was talking about blacks in general, black people, period, African-American people. What would you think Jesus would say? How would Jesus respond to that? But first, how did you respond to it? Your mic is open. Would you like to make a comment? All right.
Hello. Yes. Good evening, Apostle.
Good evening.
Yes. Oh, boy. I'm human. We are human.
Yes.
I think it would anger me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I believe if Jesus was there, he would stoop down as he did with the woman at the well. The woman who was caught at the very act of adultery.
Yes.
And kind of say to them, well, you know, God has no respect of person. And who are you to stand there and, you know, judge someone else?
I agree wholeheartedly. And the thing is, growing up in the predominant black community, it was predominant black community. There was one or two white persons there. But...
Mm-hmm.
We would have called that man that made that statement a fool, an absolute fool. And because he had insulted me. And there's no way getting around it, no excuses being made for him. He said that black people or African Americans admire him because he was a criminal.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
What does that say about all, what is he saying about people of color, especially black people?
They were basically criminals.
That's right. He's calling us criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the people that listen to that and not making a comment, not question him about it, they're just as big a fool as he is. They're
mm-hmm.
fools.
Mm-hmm.
And they call themselves conservative, and they call themselves representing the black conservative movement of black. Well, if that's what being a conservative is, to be insulted by a member of the dominant group, why do I need to be bothered with that group? Why do I need to be bothered with that individual that's making that comment?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, we have to begin to call these people out. Call them out. Because
the street term we used to use, the street term we used to use was, let's call a spade, you know. That's just what you are.
That's right. And whenever you look at it, that to me, it sounds like a racist term.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a man who claimed to be wanting to be the president of the United States, going to represent me, and I'm going to vote him in. And he's making those type of comments?
Well, we've got to, go on.
He has another one where he virtually called him a darkie. And where he was, he looked out there. His whole thing was that it was so dark. He had issues seeing. Again, this is in the public domain. But where are we? Are we speaking out against that? Did anybody from the Black Conservative Foundation make any comment about it? I haven't, if they have, I haven't heard anything. And that says a lot about how they sold their soul. They sold their soul for what? I don't know. I mean, it's real sad that we have gotten to this point. I mean, I never thought that I would see this country in the state that it is in right now. It tells me that that those individuals that's running around, including him, none of them read history. None of them even took government or civics. Because what this man is doing, he's going against the Constitution.
Yes, he is.
And what does it say? That we are all created equal? Well, I like animal form better. Animal form is more reflective of what this country is all about. Animal form said some are more equal. You know, we're equal, but some are more equal than others. And when we look at it, I'm just paraphrasing it now, but when you look at it, that is more true today than ever. You got red states and blue states. And the red states are more equal than the blue states in the eyes of some people, including the evangelical Christians. Now, what is that saying about who their God is? I mean,
power.
That's right. And if they come up to me talking that God stuff to me, I tell him straight up, I don't need that God. I can't use that God. And they take that God on down the street. And I am a very, very spiritual person. I believe the word. But see, they are not believing the word. They are misinterpreting the word to fulfill their wishes and their desires. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's sad. What is he doing? He meets with white nationalists.
I was sitting here thinking, you know, how Jesus, he was conservative, but he was radical too.
That's right.
He was radical. He told them, "Woe you hypocrites and you foolish Galatians."
Uh-huh.
So I think if he was here, that's what he'd be saying.
Yes, he would be calling them out. As we
That's
said,
right.
Growing up, you call a spade a spade.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was, it's a walk like a duck, quack like a duck, it's a duck.
It's a duck.
So,
yes, Lord.
And, you know, we want to say that people of color, they did not know what they were doing. They were not intelligent, but they spoke in parables.
Mm-hmm.
They knew
mm-hmm.
that if they were to call Massa out, they knew what was going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they attacked him with parables. And who do we know or saw that spoke in parables? We know.
Jesus.
That's right. And, we put that our belief system, when we put it on the shelves, as we say, that you said
mm-hmm.
again, I'm putting my religion on the shelf now. But we don't need to put it on the shelf. We need to come out and out and make the comment based on truth. Here's another one. Trump at one point Friday appears to make a joke about only seeing the black people in the dark room where the gala was being held. And he said, these lights are so bright in my eyes that I can't see too many people out there, but I can only see the black ones. I can't see white.
No.
I can't see any white ones. You see, that's how far I've come. That's how far I've come. That's a long way, isn't it? These lights, we come a long way together, he said, as the crowd laughed. Now, what is, remember I said he called them darkies at a,
yeah,
call us darkies, and that's what that was all about. The joke, darkie. What have we have been saying growing up in the black community? We heard that word, darkie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it came from the larger community. And as we sit here and we don't respond, we're just as big a fool as those who's sitting there, and it's the one that makes those statements. We're foolish. How can you go out and vote for somebody? How can you go out and vote? You know, evidently, he had some idea of how these people in South Carolina those blacks in South Carolina, they love white people. They love mm-hmm. white people, so you can say anything to them and we're not insulting them. Mm. And them so-called black conservatives who were sitting up in there, what's in their mind? What's on their mind? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out something's wrong here. When somebody
I've heard people say that when Trump was in office, their salaries went up. They said, you know, things were good. And I've heard I've heard black people say that. So I summarize that all up as everyone is looking at, you know, the financial gain. They're not looking at the moral aspect of it.
Yeah, but salary didn't go up for everybody.
Didn't go up for me.
I'll guarantee you some of those that were sitting up in there at that black conservative foundation meeting, they didn't benefit from the huge tax cut because they didn't have enough money. But yet they're going to walk around talking about their conservatives. Also, I will bet you that you got a lot of them who was in there walk around talking about their evangelical Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they getting ready to do now? White Christian nationalists? And they started two new white churches out in Minnesota, white only churches.
What?
Yes, last year. So now, who's their God? That tells me again that support my theory is that you got a white God and a black God. If you got a white God, then your church that you got up there is fine. Because your white God is one that you worship. White only. The black God is more, whenever you sit down and look at the God that black people serve, for the most part, he calls out morality. He believes in equality. He believes in justice. He believes in mercy. He believes in people being humble.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened is that same theology that goes with that then told them that they're going to get theirs when they die. They shouldn't have anything here while they're here on earth, because when they die, they're going to get theirs in heaven. Now, I think it's Psalm 115, verse 16. That contradicts that statement, because that psalm says that the Creator created heaven for himself.
Mm.
Not for us, he gone so that if we can come and live in this mansion. I used to have an issue. How's a person who's going to live in a mansion know how to take care of something when he lives in a shack all his life? When you can walk in there and look down and you see the ground. When you can look up, you can see the sky. When you look out the side of the wall, you can see trees. I'm not lying. I was able to experience that in the homes of friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Who was They were big time in the chat. And see, and then you go to Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26 and forward. It says that he has given us dominion over it. Now, it took me a while before, because I had to remove the trash that I had received by sitting up there in these churches, and they telling me, oh, the more you suffer, the greater your reward will be when you get to heaven. Oh, it's harder for you to get a rich man to get into the kingdom than a camel get through the eye of a needle. Oh, and they dropped the love. Oh, was that said that you shouldn't be rich? You shouldn't have riches. Because you're not going to get to heaven. The goal for them is to get to heaven. They have transplanted what Jesus said to what man wants to happen. And this is his way of maintaining control. Okay. We got to call it what it is, y'all. We got to quit playing. Time is running out. This man, if he gets reelected, he going to round people up and put them in concentration camp. Now, those of you who got a memory, who was around during the 60s and 70s, doesn't that sound familiar? That sound like they were saying back then that they're going to round all of us up and put us in the concentration camp. Think about what happened when they ran the interstate through. They ran the interstate through our community. Blitter.
Apostle?
Yes.
I really enjoyed your broadcast. I'm going to have to leave, but I really enjoyed this broadcast, and you speak a lot of truth.
Well, please remember prayer time. We don't have to settle for whatever. We can go to our Creator and ask for what we want. We can see what's coming down the pipe. We can see it. I've worked in government during the Ronald Reagan era, and the Heritage Foundation, who wrote the book for him, is now writing a book for Donald Trump. Ronald Reagan followed that book to the letter of the law. So, and then what happened was there was 16,000 employees at HUD. And that book said that they should cut it in half. Well, by the end of Ronald Reagan's first term, there was 8,000 employees.
What
he followed the book.
Okay, Apostle. God bless you, and I'll talk with you later.
All righty.
All right, Maggie. Be blessed.
And also you. Shalom. We do have one person that's still here. We were responding to what was written,
what's
out in the public domain. And I'll read them. I think you were a little late calling in. One of them says, Trump at one point Friday appeared to make a joke about seeing the black people in the dark room where the gala was being held. And he said, these lights are so bright in my eyes that I can't see too many people out there. But I can only see the black ones. I can't see any white ones. You see, that's how far I've come. That's a long way, isn't it? These lights, we come a long way together, he said as the crowd laughed. Now, if we unpack that, he called black people darky. To me, what I heard when I read it, was, what did he say about the light, the whiteness? I can't see any white ones. You see how far I've come? That's how far I've come. That's a long way, isn't it? These lights. He's talking about he came, the white people there, they came a long way together. It's wow what people think that they can say and how they can insult people, and people think that is a spy. That's one of the things, one of the articles that we were responding to. The other one was Trump suggests his mugshot and indictment appeal to black voters. That was Columbia, South Carolina. And former President Donald Trump suggested Friday that his criminal indictment and mugshot appealed to black voters and claimed that what's happening to him happened to them. And then he goes on, I got indicted for nothing, for something that is nothing. They were doing it because it's election interference, and then I got indicted a second time, and a third, and a fourth. And a lot of people said that's why the black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and faces 91 criminal charges against the cases, told a gathering of black conservatives here on the eve of state first and South Carolina Republican president election, a primary. And the question was, how did that make you feel when you heard that? And if you didn't hear it live when I just read his quotes, how did that make you feel as a black person?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. How did it make me feel?
Yeah, how did it make you feel?
It made me angry. And it also made me think, what must I do as an individual to let it be known that these things hurt and that it's an insult and it means that at this time in life and this time, this world we're in, something is badly wrong with supposedly a leader making statements like that.
I agree. But being a student of history, psychology, and sociology, from a historical black college my degree came from, as I was there this afternoon.
I'm going to have to put it in.
I had to take ancient history, American history, well, European history, and American history. And whenever I put all that together, what I see now, I understand why it's happening. And I realize from my study of history that this nation has been a hypocrite. How can you be a God-fearing nation, which they say that they are, a Christian nation, whenever your written document says that some people are 3/5 of a human being? And I said, there's people here that are not human. And it's real sad what we see now. So, of course, he can stand up in there and say that. And he's basically calling them a fool, a bunch of foolish people. And they're not saying anything. And I just look at it and I smile because being a retired pastor, I look at it, what's in these people's hearts, and since they ain't saying things, it's the same. They feel the same way about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he just called them and said about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel the same way about others who look like them. And it's okay for him to say what he says. And it's going to be okay for them to go in there and vote for him. And you ask the question, what would Jesus say? I'm realizing now that Jesus, and some people might want to call me racist or what have you, but that's a lie. All I'm doing is dealing with what's written, what's in the written word.
Mm-hmm.
And all the drawings that I've seen of blue eyed, blonde hair, fair skin image. It's the image of the people in a dominant society. That's who their Jesus is.
Yep.
So, what would he say? He would give them the approval. I mean, it's obvious that they believe that because if you look at their fruits, they haven't denied him, then they're still running behind this man who's immoral, who is a liar. And I look at it, growing up in America, being a member of a cult race, if they want to call it that, if we would have said anything, or did anything compared to what this man has done, we'd be under the prison. Under it. And we would be called a heretic.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to drum us out of the church.
Oh, yeah.
But yet, they embrace him.
Yeah.
And it's real sad. America better be...
Yeah, hypocrite.
That's right. America better repent.
That's right.
America best repent. Because even if I just apply my sociological psychology that I had from historical psychology, everybody, not one of those major European institutions, I got quote-unquote an inferior education. But my little inferior education, when I look at what's happening, if something doesn't change and change soon, we're going to be in bad shape. We're going to be worse than them shithole countries that the guy who's running for president called leaders from African countries. This country will be will have that tag attached to it, and it's sad, real sad. Well, Some people might say that this is angry, I'm being angry. No, I'm not. I'm trying to challenge you to think, trying to challenge you to think about what people are saying. When you think about it, words have meaning, y'all. It's not what you say. It's what the people hear and feel.
Mm-hmm.
Words have meaning.
Yes.
And if we look at what was said, and the black community heard one thing, the white community heard another one. The black community heard insult. The white community heard an affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so, you know, we best wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is they're calling for a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I say, the creator that I serve will have the final say.
Yeah.
No matter what these people say and do and think, when it comes down to the wire, they will not. If we look at it biblical, we look at the Bible as a history book that shows mm-hmm. how the Creator intervened into the life of the people. He held them, everybody accountable. Everybody had to pay some dues. You're not mm-hmm. getting away.
Nope.
You can say things. And I think I didn't write it down from memory. I think it's Psalms number 2. I think it's Psalms 2. And I've forgotten the verses. If you just read the whole of Psalms 2,
mm-hmm.
you will see how the Creator is sitting up there laughing. And
mm-hmm.
how he's holding the people accountable, the leaders, what he said that was going to happen to them. All I'm doing is speaking the word as written, not as interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
I used to pray. And I want to be a prophet. But when I really looked at it one day, I said, nope, do not want to be a prophet. All prophet had was what the people perceived was bad news. The prophet was telling people something that the people didn't want to hear. And they, in turn, wanted to crucify the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Same way they crucified the prophet. Yes, he was a prophet, the Messiah. They crucified him
mm-hmm.
because he was saying and doing things that the people didn't want to hear. Well, I hope I challenged you to
mm-hmm.
think about what is happening. And those of you who understand that your Creator is waiting for you to invite him into the situation so that he mm-hmm. can make the necessary changes that need to be made. In line with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And where Paul told the people, you pray for all people, even those in authority. Then he told them why you pray for them. He didn't say you pray for them to keep doing what they're doing if they're not keeping the word. He said you pray for them so that you can have a peaceful, godly, reverent life. So until next week, where we will be back again.
Yes.
The John Abercrombie Hour. And we will pick up another topic. Another topic that the community is dealing with. Up to the last couple of weeks, we talked about PTSD, non-military PTSD, as being one of the causes of the problems that we see in the black community. And we will do a second part, part two, will be next Wednesday, 7:30. I want to thank y'all for listening. And until then, shalom. And shalom means peace.
Shalom.
All right. It means peace in all aspects of your life. Peace.
Yes.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom.